My day began with a cup of coffee, as it usually does, and searching the internet, Dermot Corrigan asked an interesting question for Fusion. Are World Cup squads better without big stars? Starting with Falcao in Colombia, he looked at the pros and cons of either bringing players or having big names at home. Falcao was forced out by injury, but his absence allowed for the emergence of James Rodriguez. France left Ribéry and Nasri at home for injury and team chemistry reasons, but played well, especially in the group stage, before getting knocked out by Germany. Then there was the U.S. and Landon Donovan, although he didn't try to unravel that riddle. Corrigan stated, "There's a lesson here. Without their superstars, other, less egotistical, or at least less established players have more space to play in and also more responsibility to make a difference." Other teams brought players with varying results. Ivory Coast went with the tried and true names one more time and still couldn't get to the knockout round. Portugal took a less than 100% CR7, but he couldn't lift the squad. As for Suarez in Uruguay, he came back from surgery and seemingly had saved La Celeste's campaign until his moment of madness. On to the football. First up was Argentina versus Belgium. Sam Kelly and Wim Van Vol did a preview of this match for ESPN FC. Their comments were illuminating, with Sam boasting ahead of the tournament about an attacking Argentina team, instead getting a team that had been cautious and conservative and dependent on Messi. Vim mentioned that Belgium had finally come to life against the United States, and that, although Belgium would probably have to adjust to Argentina, the Red Devils would still win. Sam hoped that Argentina would open up and allow Messi to provide the winning moment. For the lineups, Argentina with Basanta and De Michaelis in the back, and Biglia and Mascherano in midfield, while Belgium started with Morales in place of Mertens and kept Origi up top. The first half ebbed and flowed, with the initial breakthrough coming when Kompany strode forward but lost the ball and the turnover was punished. Di Maria's three balls deflected to Higuain, who smacked it home first time after just 7.5 minutes. The ESPN crew talked about the supporting cast stepping up, and the Napoli striker answered the call. If the theme of the round 16 was no goals in the first half, then the thread of the quarters has been goals in the opening 15 minutes. Midway through the half, Belgium started asking questions, which really opened the game up for a while, but then Argentina put their collective foot on the ball and patiently tried to build up play, which kept Belgium in neutral. A tactical point, Hazard and Morales switched flanks at times, but neither could get into the match. Real concern for Argentina is Di Maria, who had been playing on the right, was subbed out with 15 minutes to go in the first half. Appeared to be a muscle strain after he took a shot moments earlier. He again had been active, but could not continue and was replaced by Enzo Perez, a player I'd never heard of. Derek Ray informed the audience that he played for Benfica via Estudiantes. On the hour mark, Vilmots executed a double substitution with Morales and Origi out and Mertens and Lukaku in. In previous games, subs had played key parts in Belgian success. It appeared that Fellaini was taking more chances to get into the box to support the striker. As in the first half, Belgium turned up the pressure and started to get more involved in the game, but Argentina weathered the storm and slowly squeezed out the space. With 15 minutes to go, Chadli came on for Hazard, who had been disappointed in the tournament. The Argentinian substitutions replaced Lavezzi with Palacios to get some fresh legs on the field, and then Gago for Higuain to see out the last 10 minutes. The final whistle went, and Argentina were through to the semifinals, and the crowd, who had been deafening at times, cheered the team as they celebrated at midfield. After a quick nap, I went over to a friend's house for Netherlands versus Costa Rica. John Arnold posted on soccer.fusion.net ahead of the match about the Costa Rican midfield. This group is not playing in big leagues, instead playing in the domestic league or in the cold climes of Norway, Denmark, or Sweden. But the team has been one of the surprises of the tournament, showing grit, energy, and desire in reaching the quarterfinals. Alex Baker, who's been a guest on my Soccer Nomad podcast and previewed Group B for this tournament, sent me his thoughts ahead of the game. He predicted the starting lineup almost perfectly, except he had Jan Mott on instead of Depay. Not sure about the formation for the Dutch. Defensively, they lined up with three center backs with Kout and Blind as wing backs. Looked like Wijnaldum sat in and tried to break up play so that the ball could be played to the attacking players. It didn't really matter what formation they lined up because Robin van Persie was awful. He was either offside or committing a foul. Schneider did not have the impact that Alex was anticipating, although he did hit the post on a free kick and created several half chances. Costa Rica played a 5-4-1 and were organized and patient. Too many long balls for my liking rather than keeping possession. Joel Campbell was quiet as balls sailed out of bounds or into the hands of the Dutch goalkeeper. Michael Cox figured the matchup of Campbell against Vlaar would be key, but the Arsenal man seemed to be played out wide right and did not engage the Dutch center back. Alex noted that Costa Rica survived extra time and penalties in the previous round, and Adrian Healy commented during the match that at times it was played at a walking pace, and for 105 minutes that was pretty much true. Very few moments of excitement or quality. However, the second period of extra time was enthralling. The Netherlands went with a 4-4-2 and this opened up the game. Schneider hit the crossbar and Robin had a couple of shots blocked. Costa Rica was able to finally combine effectively, and Silsson made an important save toward the end as De Vrij got turned to keep the game scoreless. At the end of the second extra time period, Tim Krul was inserted into the match for the penalty shootout. Ruud van Nistelrooy said in the interval that the Newcastle goalkeeper was the tallest of the three keepers and had the greatest reach. Still, I had to wonder what Van Gaal was thinking. Well, he was thinking about winning. Krul guessed right on all five kicks and saved two of them to propel Netherlands into the semifinals against Argentina. In terms of predictions, I've done quite well. When the tournament started, my predictor had three of the four teams. I put a lot of stock in Croatia and had them beating the Netherlands in the quarterfinals. That didn't pan out, but after a second chance just before the round of 16, I went 4-for-4. I have Germany and Argentina in the final, and that may still happen. The semis are on Tuesday and Wednesday, and I'll be back then. Ta-ta!